back up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
My biggest question of the week for Jeff Diamond on Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. Jeff, who is more vital to their team's success, Christian McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook?
I think they're both pretty vital, but I would probably say, judging on results of last week, since the Vikings won with Alexander Mattison, despite his fumble, costly fumble late in the game, but he still had over 100 yards rushing and a good day of receiving. I would say that since the Panthers have lost two straight without McCaffrey, that he probably carries a little more weight in their offense with how they use him. He's such a versatile guy, running, catching the ball. Mike Zimmer talked about him in that regard, what a terrific player he is, and how they use him out in space, and yet as not such a big guy, but he's very strong and slippery. I'm sure the Vikings would love to see him get one more week off, but it sounds like he's on track to potentially return. He was limited in practice the first day this week, but so was Dalvin Cook. But Cook was talking yesterday. It sounds like he's coming back. And so I would answer that question and say McCaffrey, but they're both certainly elite players out of that class of 2017 that your comrade Ben Gessling wrote about very well this morning and talked about what a great running back class that was with McCaffrey. Leonard Fournette, actually the first running back picked in that class, and he's been okay up and down. But McCaffrey is the eighth pick, Dalvin Cook as a second rounder, Alvin Kamara as a second rounder, Joe Mixon in that class, Aaron Jones in Green Bay. So really quite a stout group of running backs coming out of that particular class of 2017. And hopefully we'll see two of them on display on Sunday in Charlotte when the Vikings and the Panthers meet in a really critical game.
Yeah, and you know, even Fournette, he got the Jaguars to an AFC championship game, then he won a Super Bowl at Tampa Bay. So, you know, he hasn't been able to maintain the incredible level of production that some of his peers have, but he still helped people win a lot of games. Hey, let's get into more of this matchup. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. You'll see all the shows as they are released. You can go to TalkNorth.com to see the archives and everything else. Best way to listen, subscribe at your favorite podcast app. It is free. It is easy. Thank you to our sponsors. White Bear Lake Superstore.com, one of our newer sponsors on the network, Platinum Bank. Also, BetUS.com, great betting site, great betting app. Promo code TNorth125 will get you a 125% sign-up bonus. We'll do the BetUS picks later in the segment, both as a way to help with picks and also have some fun talking about other NFL teams. So, listen, we're not at a, you know, necessarily at a must-win juncture of this season, but Vikings win, then they've kind of survived this stretch with Cook's injury. They're back to 500, going to a bye week. They would have legitimate reason to feel optimism. They lose, they're 2-4 with five very difficult games coming up, and they would have a reason to feel pessimism. How important do you think this game is?
Yeah, I would refer to my old friend and a former staff member that I worked with for many years at the Vikings. Harley Peterson was our finance director. You knew him, Jim. And Harley would always say, this is a swing game. Yeah. And I really believe that in this case, that this is a swing game, that if the Vikings can get to 3-3, and as you said, feel some optimism going into the bye week, get healthy, and then get ready for Dallas on Halloween night, then I think there's some excitement building. They've won two in a row. They'll win a tough road game if they can get by Carolina. If they lose this game, they're 2-4, and as you said, coming into a very difficult five-game stretch. That includes the Ravens, the Packers, the Cowboys, 49ers, and it's just really a killer stretch that they're going to have to survive. And so, but I think if they win this game, they'll feel some good optimism. Their quarterback is really playing well, which is a good sign. The defense is getting better despite kind of wearing down late in that ball game. And Christian Darrisaw, the first-round pick, saw his first extended action and looked reasonably good against Detroit, which is a great sign, and he potentially could start this week. I don't think he will. Carolina presents two really excellent pass rushers and Haason Reddick and Brian Burns, and they've got 9.5 sacks between them, which is second best in the league to the duo of who else? Daniil Hunter and Everson Griffin, who have 10 sacks between them. But I think that, as I said, I think this is a swing game. I think it's a really important game for the Vikings. It's a game that they can win, but they're going to have to play well. They're going to have to pressure Darnold, force him to make the kind of mistakes he made against the Eagles last week. But before we get a little more in depth on the Panthers, I just want to circle back to last week for a second, Jim, and talk about ugly wins in the NFL. And there is no ugly win in the NFL. And I'll say that unequivocally. And I know that people say, oh, they should have blown out Detroit. And, oh, they had a 10-point lead. They blew and had to win with a 54-yard field goal, which isn't necessarily bad for the confidence of their kicker, Greg Joseph, who, of course, had missed the earlier one in Arizona that cost them a game. But there is no ugly win. And I remember back in especially my days in Tennessee, in our Super Bowl season, we had a bunch of those games. I've talked about this before, a bunch of 14-10, 17-14 over Cleveland, which was basically an expansion team, but found a way to win. And the fans would go, oh, why aren't they winning by more? Hey, I would tell our coaches and staff, don't listen to the noise. Just get the W, because in 3 weeks, no one's going to remember what happened. Now, they might remember that Joseph hit a 54-yard field goal to win, but other than that, you move on to the next game, and in a couple of weeks, people forget, but you got the W in the left-hand column. And I'm going to take a segue there, Jim, and just talk for a sec about the post-game show on KFAN. I was just incensed, and maybe it's some of that Viking blood that's still in me, but listening to these idiots after the game, and essentially, if you turned it on, you thought the Vikings lost, first of all. And this guy actually compared the Vikings' win over Detroit to the Gophers losing to Bowling Green. And he was very proud of himself for making that analogy, which I thought was totally idiotic. If you're going to compare a Power 5 school as a 20-point favorite or something?
Yeah,
losing
it was
to
one of the biggest upset losses
school in Bowling Green. That was just absurd. And then this guy on this post-game show is ripping everything that the Vikings did against Detroit, the play calling, both guys saying that Zim would have been fired if they lost, essentially saying that, and not talking about how Kirk Cousins led the team down the field again for basically the fourth time this year, by the way, to field goal range to end the game and have a chance to win, made two great throws to Thielen on that last drive. And the offensive line providing great protection on those two particular pass plays, which no one's talking about that. And so, and I'm not saying that your home radio network should be a bunch of homers, because that gets annoying, and you've got to tell the truth to a certain extent, of course. But in my days running organizations, and we always had the final say on who the announcers were. I would not put up with that kind of garbage on the air with these kind of guys that obviously have no clue how hard it is to win a game in the NFL. And so I would have their heads on a platter this week after what they did on that post-game show. And again, I don't know how the Vikings can put up with that on their radio network when these guys are essentially degrading their product. It's not good for KFAN as a radio network to have the product degraded, doesn't excite the sponsors and so forth. So it makes no sense to me why that occurs. And as I said, you can talk about, hey, they needed to hold on to the lead. Madison can't fumble in that situation with 2 minutes to go, just as Dalvin Cook should not have done it in Cincinnati. But to compare the Vikings beating Detroit, who is an NFL team with really good players, even though they're 0-5, they've got Hockenson, they've got Swift. Jared Goff is not all bad. They've got some decent guys on defense. They're not a great team. We know that. But, hey, these are professional players who get paid to play, who were high draft choices. And anytime you get a win in the NFL, you take it. So that was just ridiculous, I thought.
I want to bring up a different topic and something I've been observing since I came to town to cover the Vikings in 1990, and that is Vikings' performance on grass. Now, last year, I think they went 2-1 on grass. They actually won at Lambeau. They won at Chicago, which is a rare, you know, it's amazing they won in those two places, still didn't have a good season to make the playoffs. And then they lost to Tampa, which is a logical loss late in the season. But historically, the Vikings win about less than 40% of their games on grass, which is pretty remarkable for a franchise that has a pretty hefty winning percentage overall. But since they went in the Metrodome, they've not been a good grass team. And that's really the demarcation line. Since they started playing their home games in the Metrodome, they've lost, they've won fewer than 40% of their games on grass. And they have a lot of games on grass the remainder of the season starting this Sunday. Do you think that matters? I was just reading our friend Mark Craig's picks. He's picking the Vikings as almost a lock to win because he doesn't believe in Darnold. And I agree with him. I don't believe in Darnold. I think if the Vikings should win a game like this against a struggling quarterback, who's thrown 5 interceptions in the last 2 weeks. But the Vikings generally don't play well on grass. Do you think that's a factor that should be considered this week?
Well, I think it's a lesser factor than some other things, such as the Vikings injury list that this week included Thielen and Jefferson and Barr, who did play the whole game, basically, and played okay. Madison's on that injury list. Michael Pierce still on the injury list. And I think that grass can be a factor, but they do practice on grass basically every day, unless it's inclement weather. And so I think that's a kind of overrated thing, honestly, that I think a lot of these grass fields are so good these days that they're almost like an artificial turf field. And I'm sure Carolina, with a good climate down in Charlotte, will be fine. And going out to LA when they face the Chargers, which was another one of that killer five-game schedule, I'm sure that'll be fine. And so I don't think it's as big a factor as some other things, such as the health of your team and how you're playing overall. But I think let's call it a minor factor, and it can be a factor certainly late in the season when you play a team such as Green Bay at Lambeau.
Yeah, no question about that. And I think part of the factor is that two of the places they play on grass every year are Soldier Field, which is a very difficult place to play, even against bad Bears teams, and Lambeau, and the Packers have been very good since 1992. So that's also part of that factor. Let's get to some more Vikings issues, including the offensive line and Darisaw, and let's talk about some really interesting trends around the NFL. First, though, we want to welcome Platinum Bank, and we want Jeff to tell us about White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Always excited to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore. Buick GMC, my longtime friend owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gattrell, their fantastic staff, Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and with their super friendly premium team. Check out their great website. We always talk about whitebearlakesuperstore.com. There's great specials on new 2021 Buick Encore GX Selects with dealer discounts and purchase allowances, plus $500 additional off if you finance through GM Financial. There's great offers on 2021 GM Sierra 1500s. The White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 van superstore, and they are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
And tell us about Platinum Bank.
Platinum Bank, fantastic bank. I'm happy to talk about our great new sponsor. Platinum Bank is your bank, a provider, or a partner. In today's environment, businesses and individuals need a bank that can move quickly and act creatively. Platinum Bank understands the Twin Cities market, partnering with clients to overcome the challenges, capitalize on opportunities, and helping Twin Cities executives to grow their businesses. Platinum Bank's financial products are tailored to meet the unique needs of your organization and solve your problems, not create them. I am a very happy Platinum Bank client and account holder, have personally experienced tremendous customer service working with Market President Nate Erfer and VP Drew Lynch. To learn how Platinum Bank can be an asset to your business, visit www.platinumbankmn.com. Platinum Bank, providing a means to a dream.
So Darrisaw ends up splitting time at left tackle last Sunday, and it looked like he held up pretty well. Obviously, they want to move on from Rashad Hill. They want Darrisaw to be the starter. How do you feel they're handling this process right now?
I think they're doing it well. And I think it's what we kind of anticipated last week, that they would get Darrisaw some more snaps as he's recovered from that groin surgery. And I thought he looked okay. He looked pretty good. I think he looks more athletic. He looks bigger and stouter than Rashad Hill. And we did see Hill get overwhelmed on one particular pass rush in the game. I never saw Darrisaw that happen to him. So he's clearly the guy who's going to be starting very soon, I'm sure, by the Dallas game, as I said. And I wouldn't be shocked if they started him this week. But I do think because they're facing these elite pass rushers in Reddick and Burns for Carolina, that they probably will swing him in there and give him probably 25 to 30 snaps like they did last week, maybe increase his workload a little bit depending on how he's doing against these guys. But I think it's good in that regard. And I'd also kind of like to see Wyatt Davis at some point. And I do think perhaps his spot for the future might be at center. We've talked about this before, that Bradbury, when he runs up against these really stout guys and big defensive tackles, he has issues. And he played okay last week, but Carolina's a little bit tougher defensive line. Overall, their defense is really good. They're number one in the league against the pass, number two overall. But you also have to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt, Jim, because of who they've played this year and who they beat, which was the Jets, the Saints, who are okay, and the Texans. The Jets and the Saints, Jets and the Texans, probably the two worst teams in the league besides the Jaguars. They lost to Dallas and Philly, who are a little better defensively. And only Dallas out of that whole group is really a top passing team. And so they come in with that number one against the pass rating. But again, who have they played? Last year, Cousins lit them up for 307 yards and three touchdowns in that thrilling 28-27 win at US Bank Stadium that we recall. Remember that game, Jim? Jeremy Chinn scores two back-to-back touchdowns on fumble returns.
Mm-hmm.
When Cousins and Dalvin Cook fumbled in that game, the Vikings have to come back from a 21-10 deficit to win that game. That was one of the more exciting games of the season, but there was a lot of success in that game for Cousins throwing, and he did not have Thielen that game because he was out on the COVID list. So Justin Jefferson had two touchdown receptions, had a big day. B.C. Johnson had a big day as a starting receiver then. He's on IR now, as we know. But I think the Vikings are going to have some opportunities in the passing game. Zimmer talked about how the Panthers play a lot of press coverage and kind of in their face. And I think that plays to the strengths of the Vikings starting receivers. Jefferson and Thielen know how to get off press coverage, know how to get off the line. And if Cousins has time to throw, I think he's going to have a chance to make some plays down the field. Also, last year in that game against the Panthers, Kyle Rudolph had seven catches in that ball game. So I think that could bode well for a big day for Tyler Conklin at tight end. And Shaq Thompson, one of the Panthers' best defensive players, a former first-round linebacker, is out this week. And that's going to help the Vikings in this game against that Panthers defense. So I think that whole high rating for the Panthers defense, again, take that with a grain of salt. I think the Vikings can move the ball on this team, as happened with Dallas a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I the closer we get to this game, the more I feel like the Vikings should win this game, the more I analyze the rosters and the matchups. Now they have to take care of that business, though. I wrote about this earlier in the week. This team has had reasonable offensive production overall this season, even when Cook hasn't been in. But second halves, they have not performed well. They've scored 15 points total in the second half in their last three games. They scored zero offensive. They haven't scored an offensive touchdown after halftime this season since Dalvin Cook scored with about 9 minutes left against Cincinnati in the opener. They have been a terrible second half offensive team. What does that mean? What does that tell you about either this team or the coaching staff?
Well, it tells me that they need to make adjustments. They need to not go into a shell offensively. And I think that's what's been happening. There have been so many of these second and long running plays that put them in third and long, puts them in tough situations, and then end up kicking field goals. And Zimmer talked about this in his press conference this week, and so did Cousins, that they've really looked at it carefully this week. Zimmer said they had an extensive meeting with the offensive coaches on Monday, and it's a point of emphasis this week to be able to come out faster, not only in the second half, but even in the second quarter, and be able to not sit on leads and not just relax and try to run the ball ad nauseum. And I think when you look at this football team, when you've got two elite receivers in Thielen and Jefferson and an emerging tight end in Conklin, you need to use these guys and use Dalvin Cook when he's healthy out of the backfield a little bit more. Now, Madison's been big in the passing game. We know that. And Cousins understands that he needs to not necessarily be checking down if there's opportunities down the field. And so, yeah, the real mystery last week was Justin Jefferson disappearing after a huge start to the game and only two catches for 20 yards in the second half. Now they're talking about their rolling coverage over to him and all this and that, but there's still ways to get him the ball on quick screens, wide receiver screens, whatever you got to do. He's such an elite player. He can never be a guy who only catches two balls in a half.
Right, and if they're rolling coverage to Jefferson, then why didn't Thielen touch the ball until the last drive? That didn't make any sense. And I just thought it was very emblematic of this team's mentality offensively that they did nothing in the second half until they knew they had to get a field goal, and then all of a sudden drop back, hit Thielen, hit a short pass, hit Thielen, and they moved 40 yards in like no time at all. When they like felt some urgency, they played with some urgency.
Yeah, and let's not forget about K.J. Osborne, who was very big in those first three games, and he's kind of been quiet the last couple of weeks. He's proven himself to be a major playmaker on this team when they do roll coverage to and bracket both Jefferson and Thielen, then hit Osborne. And so I think that they can't forget what their strengths are and what their weapons are and trust a quarterback who is playing probably the best of his career. And with any luck, the Vikings would be 4-1. I'm not going to say 5-0 because Cleveland should have beaten that game, should have beaten the Vikings more handily. But they did have an opportunity at the end of the game if pass interference is called in the end zone against Thielen. And so Cousins is playing really well. And don't be afraid don't put him in a shell offensively. Let him have a chance to make some plays. Let him make some adjustments, some audibles at the line of scrimmage. If they're putting eight in the box to try to stop Cook or Madison, let him throw the ball on second and long. And I think they're going to have a lot more success. I think they realize that. It's almost as Zimmer said, we went into almost a self-scout early that we usually do during the bye week. We did it early because of the problems we've had in the second half. So they're very well aware. But we'll see if that translates this week in Carolina, because you cannot sit on leads in the NFL. I saw a really fascinating stat, Jim. 19 games so far this season decided with winning scores either in the final minute or overtime, the most through five games in NFL history. And the Vikings have three of those games, Cincinnati, Arizona, and Detroit. And you can probably expect it again potentially this week. So you can't sit on leads in the NFL.
No, that's an excellent point. Are the Seahawks going to be able to survive if Russell Wilson can't come back quickly?
I don't think so. I think Geno Smith is a guy who's showing what he was when he was with the Jets, and he's just a very, very average backup quarterback in the league. If you have to insert him as a starter and teams can game plan for him, he's proven not to be a great decision maker. Forces the ball. He threw a costly interception last week when he replaced Wilson. So I think the Seahawks are in very serious trouble. I think it's going to be very difficult for them to survive, and which is good news for the Vikings, even though they already beat Seattle and have the tiebreaker over them. They'd rather see teams such as the Rams and those type of teams that they may be competing with Chicago for a wild card, perhaps, if you assume that Green Bay can go ahead and win the division. But hey, the Packers were very lucky last week to even escape Cincinnati. How about the Cincinnati kicker kicks it, what he thinks is a game-winning field goal, and it hits the flag that's flapping in the wind, and it knocks it to the side. Talk about bad luck. And meanwhile, Mason Crosby misses three field goals and comes back and hits the 49-yard game winner. Packers could easily have lost that game. They could have easily lost in San Francisco. So they're kind of winning those really tough games that the Vikings lost early in the season.
Yes. Hey, let's get to our BetUS NFL picks. We'll talk about some more NFL issues as we go through these picks. These were picking, obviously, important games and divisional games. Reminder, BetUS.com is the website. BetUS is the app. You can also call 800-792-3887. That's the same as 800-79-BETUS, B-U-T-U-S. You can bet on anything you want, from golf to NFL to NBA to WNBA, whatever you want. They have a great website. And they also have cool places on the website where you can go and get expert analysis. You can understand why you would want to pick a certain team or why you might want to pick the over in a certain game. We also have Barry Barger, their betting expert, on the Viking Update show earlier in the week that I do with John Krasinski. So check that out as well. But let's get to the actual picks. Packers at Bears. Big game in the division, big game in the NFC. Packers giving away 4.5 points as Justin Fields starts to settle in as the starter. Who do you like in that, Jeff?
That's a tough number, that 4.5. And mm-hmm. I like the Packers to win. That Chicago defense played really, really well last week. And in a game that I kind of thought they'd get beat by the Raiders, but of course the Raiders were dealing with all the John Gruden drama, and thank goodness he's out of the league now, by the way.
Thank God.
and hopefully Urban Meyer will follow him out the door soon. But be that as it may, I just have a feeling Green Bay is going to find a way to win this game by, say, 6 or 7 points. I just don't believe in that Chicago offense at this point. Montgomery, I think, is still out. Yep. And so I'm gonna go with the Packers with the minus 4.5.
I agree with you, and I agree with you for all the reasons you just said. No Montgomery. Fields needs help. I think Fields will be fun to watch, but I don't think he's really ready to beat a good team yet. I would also bet on the Packers. Bengals at Detroit, a team that the Vikings played against and the team the Vikings just played against, with the Bengals giving 3.5 points.
Yeah, and the Bengals coming off that really tough, tough loss to Green Bay. And I think that Detroit is better than people think. Let's remember that they also lost to the Ravens on that incredible game when Justin Tucker kicks an NFL record 66-yard field goal. And how about the irony that loss to the Ravens, also 19-17, same score as the Vikings loss on Joseph's field goal. How crazy is that? I would say watch out, Cincinnati, this week when you go to Detroit. I'm going to pick Detroit +6, +3.5, even though I think the Bengals can win this game.
I'm going to take the Bengals just because I like what Joe Burrow and those receivers are doing right now. I think they could be pretty explosive. But hey, I will say this about the Lions. They're 0-5, but, man, they play hard. That team, there's no doubt that team was – I mean, that team played with guts. That team played with energy. They're not very good, but they certainly put up a fight. I just like the Bengals' personnel in this one. All right, let's go to Vikings at Carolina. Vikings at Carolina, again, grass field. McCaffrey might be back. Cook might be back. Darnold threw one interception the first three games of the season. He has thrown 5 interceptions the last two games. If he's going down the tubes, I'll just go ahead and make my pick first. I'm going to take the Vikings because I do not trust Darnold.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth in this game. The Carolina defense, as I said, very good, but who have they played? Not too many very good teams, and Dallas put up, I think, 36 on them. And so I think they're kind of heading in the wrong direction. I'll go with the Vikings too, but I think this game could go either way. I think it's basically a toss up, and as I said, a swing game. So I'm going to take the Vikings in this game, and really kind of an interesting schedule. Some other really, I don't know if you have any other games on the docket, Jim, but that Chargers at Ravens game is really interesting to me. Buffalo at Tennessee Monday night. It's kind of a good week. But with all these good games, why is Seattle at Pittsburgh the Sunday night game?
I don't know. That's not a great game. I mean, the thing is, I'm sure they booked that because they always look for – they know what the quarterbacks sell and quarterbacks draw. And I'm sure they were envisioning – Russell Wilson against Ben Roethlisberger. And, of course, now it's not Russell Wilson against kind of a fading Ben Roethlisberger. So they should probably have changed that game out.
Yeah, and we know there's flex scheduling later in the season. There's not at this time, which is
right.
Really answers my question, because it's obvious that they were both playoff teams last year, and it looked like a good matchup when they made the schedule. Doesn't turn out quite that way, but hey, it could be entertaining too.
And by the way, the Vikings are giving 1 point on the BetUS.com app, giving 1 point at Carolina. I would give that point and bet on the Vikings in this game. And the other game, let's pick one more game here to highlight an old friend, Leslie Frazier. Buffalo at Tennessee. Buffalo giving 6 points. Tennessee has been an AFC powerhouse last few years. They look a little shaky this year. And Leslie Frazier is one of the reasons the Bills are look like one of the two or three best teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really too many points on a Monday night game in Tennessee. The crowd's going to be revved up and juiced up. I know that from experience. I think Buffalo coming off a very emotional win over Kansas City last week that established them as the team to beat in the AFC, and perhaps the changing of the guard with the Chiefs having struggles on defense and even on offense. It was interesting in that game. Buffalo and Leslie Frazier did not blitz Patrick Mahomes one time in that game, and they still forced four turnovers. So I like Tennessee to beat the spread in this game, and I think the Titans could win this game, but I'm definitely going to take Tennessee with that plus six.
Yeah, that's a lot of points, and I really like Buffalo to win, but I just don't know if I can give away 6 points in a game that might define Tennessee's season. And Buffalo, you know, as mature a team as it seems to be, you can only get to your peak emotionally so many times a year, and they just got to a peak emotionally to play against Kansas City. I'm just not sure they can do it again right away. So I would take Buffalo to win. I would probably take the over, and I would take Tennessee and the 6 points.
I agree, Jim. And I wanted to make one more point before we close today. Another interesting game, Arizona, Cleveland, the Cardinals undefeated going to Cleveland. That's a good one to watch. And the Cardinals are kind of banged up. I kind of like the Browns in that game. But as I was watching Baltimore come back to beat Indy on Monday night, it really struck me once again how things and teams can change week to week and sometimes half to half. And the Ravens outscored the Colts 22-3 in the fourth quarter in overtime to win an amazing comeback. But if you watch the Ravens in the first half, you'd say, wow, they don't look very good on either side of the ball. And I think the Vikings can beat them in 3-4 weeks when they face them in Baltimore. Then all of a sudden, Lamar Jackson is playing like the MVP and throws for over 400. That was an amazing game. And just kind of crazy how things can happen in the NFL.
No question about it. And the league's been great. And it's amazing dichotomy, too, Jeff, is that you see those emails from Gruden and Bruce Allen, two highly played, you know, really high – level figures in the NFL, and you know that there's 650,000 other emails that probably containing a lot of nasty stuff between NFL executives. So it sometimes it's a really hard league to like or even stomach. But on the field for 60 minutes, the games have been spectacular this year.
Yeah, definitely true. And as I said, all those fourth quarter close games, winning scores at the end, and the Vikings were fortunate to get one last week against Detroit. But they still earned that win. Don't talk to me about ugly wins, Jim. I don't believe in them.
I promise to never say ugly win while you're on the show. I'm going to use the word ugly win elsewhere, but I won't do it with you on the air.
Okay, thank you.
Good deal. Good stuff from Jeff again. Jeff, former Vikings general manager and NFL executive of the year. Also, if you'd like to advertise at this show or anywhere on the network, as we grow, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY@talknorth.com. Thank you for listening to talknorth.com.